Well, thank you, Keith, Melissa, Brittany, for leading us in song this morning. I'm Pastor Michael DeMarco. Welcome to Friendship Community Church online. If you're watching online through YouTube and you want to engage, maybe you've got the YouTube app on your television and you found the Friendship Community Church channel and you're watching our live stream there, one of the things you can do is you can while you're watching on the big screen using that app, the YouTube app, you can open up your phone and you can go to live.achurchforyou.com. And it's the strangest thing, especially during not only worship music, but also during a message, to be able to chat. It's like moving the lobby into the auditorium. And so I'm going to post something here. Oh, I'm not signed in. I'm not going to do that. Anyways, you can open it up on a device, an iPad, a tablet, a phone, and you can chat along. And also, there's some different moments that pop up that allow you to sign up for community groups, share the live stream, even invite Christ into your heart. Not that the technology does that, but it allows you to let us know that you're responding to the Holy Spirit's tug and call on your life. And last week, Easter Sunday, we had 10 people respond to the call of Christ on their hearts, that they raised their hand and said that they wanted to follow Jesus, three of which were kids in our kids' ministry, as Teresa said during the children's message. And so it was a great thing, something that I didn't expect to happen, but it just shows that God can work through even seasons like this, that we don't need buildings, we don't even need to be together for God and His mission to be to work and to be accomplished. So we're going to continue last week's narrative and message of the resurrection, and we're going to continue that today in the Gospel of Luke, and finishing up chapter 24. And spoiler alert, chapter 24 is the last chapter in the Gospel according to Luke. Now, we skipped a couple of narratives of Jesus before the triumphal entry, and we're going to jump ahead of an encounter along the road to Emmaus. We're going to jump ahead a tiny bit, and we're going to finish the Gospel according to Luke as far as the last part of chapter 24 today. And for those bits, probably three bits that we missed up to this point, I'm going to do those as scripture readings and reflections throughout this week. And so if you want to check all the boxes and say you read all the way through Luke and you heard me speak all the way through Luke, if you're one of the few and the proud that have done that over the past year and a half, you can look forward to that. But this morning, we're going to finish up with Luke chapter 24 and verses 36 through 53. So let's read scripture together. As they were talking about these things, and these things were the news of Jesus' empty tomb and Jesus appearing to some people along a road. As they, the disciples, were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" That's why he's my Savior, right? Okay. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Now this last verse of the gospel according to Luke, continually in the temple blessing God. I know that a lot of you are probably missing our little New Testament era version of the temple, the auditorium, this building at Shiloh Plaza. But let's stay with the disciples. Let's stay with Jesus, this resurrected Jesus, this human, fully God, but still fully human, with wounds and hands and feet and hunger and belly. And let's stay here and see what God would open our minds up to in this scripture reading. So let me pray real quick, and let's look at these scriptures with intention. God, we thank you for this word, these words of Holy Scripture. We thank you that they're true, that it's no conspiracy theory. And yet, Father, we need you to open our minds and our hearts and our lives to the truth contained in your Scripture about you and about us, with and without you. So do that this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I like to do when I read scripture, some things pop out to me, and I want to share those observations with you and see what God does with them through the power of his Holy Spirit, what God does with them in your hearts. First off, Jesus appears in their midst as they're recounting the interaction prior to this with some of his disciples walking along a road, and they meet this stranger that they don't recognize. And then as he starts to talk about scripture, Jesus then reveals in their hearts and minds, whoa, this is Jesus, and they're floored, and then Jesus vanishes in human form, not a spirit, and vanishes. And so they're recounting this, and Jesus appears among them and says, "Peace to you." Now, if you think back a couple of weeks to Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry, where all of the people are saying glory to God in the highest and peace in heaven, we talked about how God sent his Son not to bring peace to the earth, but to bring peace to humanity and in God's sight, that there would be peace in the heavenly realms because of the Son of God, because of the Messiah, the Christ. And yet, here Jesus, in his appearance to the 12 or the 11, he says, "Peace to you." As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." Jesus knew in the aftermath of the goriness of the crucifixion, in the aftermath of their hopes, their wrongly placed hopes, but the disciples' hopes in this Savior King that was going to conquer Rome and rule from Jerusalem, and they saw him crucified and buried in a tomb, they were shattered. Their hopes were shattered. And then they're getting these reports of interactions or encounters with a risen Jesus, and they don't know what to do with it. Jesus comes and says, "Peace." But the opposite kind of happens, right? The disciples then are, they're flummoxed, they're terrified, they think Jesus is a spirit. And then Jesus talks about his hands and his feet, and he talks about fish. Well, something to eat. And Jesus, in doing so, shows grace to his disciples. Jesus doesn't start with, "Don't you remember what I told you? Don't you remember the Old Testament scriptures, the books of Moses, the law, the prophets, the Psalms that all point to me?" By the way, the Old Testament, in its entirety, all throughout, woven throughout, talks about the Son of God, talks about the Messiah, talks about the true Adam, the best man, the groom, and the church being the bride. He doesn't start with a lecture or a sermon, but he starts with empathy. And he's like, as you're freaking out, hold on. Does a spirit have flesh and bones? See my hands, see my feet. Now me, if I was in that situation, I would be like, wait. Go back to like the difference between a human and spirit. I want to know more about spirits. Okay, they don't have flesh and bone. What else about spirits? That's where my mind would go. I just want more information. I want to be Micapedia. But he shows compassion. He shows empathy. He shows understanding. And then he shows them his hands, which have wounds from being nailed to the cross, and his feet, which have wounds from being nailed to the cross. And I, again, if you know me, I'd be like, yes, show me your hands, your feet. I don't need to see your feet. No feet. By the way, this is a benefit of the quarantine, the shelter in place. I don't have to see feet at the beach pictures. This is great. And now I just said that, and you're all going to show me your feet watching the sermon with my... And then I just gave you that example, and now you're going to be doing that. But I'm on Do Not Disturb, and I'm not going to check my phone the rest of the day. But Jesus shows empathy. He shows understanding of his disciples, and he even goes one further and goes, "Do you have something to eat?" To show that he, in this form, is still fully human, still has a need for something to eat, and likely he hasn't eaten in 3 or 4 days. And so, now, critically, you know, if I'm hungry, I've been hungry, I haven't eaten for 3 days, I conquered death in the meantime, I don't want fish. You could give me something else. But it was that time period, it was that portion of the day. And then, here's this phrase, then he opened their minds to the scriptures. These devout, fairly devout Jewish men who then had been taught by this teacher, this rabbi of the people, Jesus, that these men that should know the scriptures, the books of Moses, the law, the prophets, the Psalms, even though they knew them, they didn't really know them in their hearts. They had the head knowledge. They didn't have the heart knowledge. And so Jesus, in his fully godness, opens their mind to the scriptures. He reveals to them, he illuminates what's already there, but because of sin, because of our human limitations, we cannot see without our minds being open. Verse 44, then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead." And then this phrase, jumps out, should be proclaimed. Should be proclaimed. When I go to Publix or Walmart or Kroger or Aldi and I see that there is toilet paper or paper towels, I see it and it should be proclaimed. I should tell all of my friends and family, the people that I care about, the people that are down to their last square, that good news, there's paper in the paper aisle. It should be proclaimed, but, you know, I'm busy, or I just want to get out of here without getting tackled. Should be proclaimed. Verse 47, and that repentance, this is Jesus speaking, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem, where the triumphal entry happened, started, and in the locale where Jesus was crucified and buried, and he conquered death, that's where it's going to start. And Jesus says, you, 11 times, you, probably more, because there was more there, there were the men, there were the women, you, y'all, southern Jerusalem, y'all are witnesses. You're witnesses. What do witnesses do? When there's been a crime, what are witnesses called on to do? When there is something miraculous that happens, what are witnesses supposed to do? In a past life, I worked at a university. I worked in a university athletic department, at first as a coach and then as an NCAA compliance director, which is like being a hall monitor in hell. Like, you just have to keep track of all the rules and make sure it was. But one of the fun things that would happen every year as a fundraiser, the athletic department would put on a golf tournament, a golf scramble. Now, I don't play a lot of golf, but I would work the golf tournament, and one of the things that we would do on a couple of par three holes on the golf course would be we would buy an insurance policy, okay, for a hole-in-one contest. And this insurance policy was that at the green of the par three hole-in-one contest, we would have a brand new car like a Ford Mustang or a Chevy Camaro at these two holes. And if you teed off from this par three hole and your ball went into the cup right off the tee, one shot, a hole in one, you would win that car. But the insurance company that we would, so the car would be worth $25,000, $30,000. But we would buy an insurance policy for the athletic department would for about, I don't know, maybe $500, I'm thinking. But the insurance company would want a witness of the miracle of the hole in one, so that they could, in good conscience, pay out this prize, this jackpot, this once-in-a-lifetime lightning strike of a hole in one. Well, this is what Jesus is saying. You are witnesses of these things. That's incredible, right? That the disciples were actually the eyewitnesses of this account. These 11 men and the surrounding disciples around them are the reason that we're talking about this almost 2,000 years later. That's why, even though everything's shut down, most everything is shut down currently in this season, I'm still going to the effort to speak with you, not in a large auditorium, but through a lens, through technology, and we're still looking at this story, these eyewitness accounts, these recordings of eyewitness statements. And Jesus is saying that this should be proclaimed. It should. But if you have been binge-watching a lot of TV, I like a lot of like crime dramas, like all of the Dick Wolf produced shows like Law and Order, Chicago PD, FBI, all of those kind of crime stories with law enforcement and catching criminals. When you watch those shows, if there's a crime that happens, especially in a neighborhood that is overrun with gangs or organized crime, there are sometimes witnesses, right, that see what took place, and when the police interview them, what do they say? I didn't see anything. I don't know, I didn't get a good look. When you know they did. And why don't they? Because fear, or I don't want to get involved, it's none of my business. And so Jesus says here that all of the disciples should, that all that they've witnessed, that the repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in light of this good news, this good event. So there's so many things that we can mine from this passage about who God is, who humanity is with and without him, the historical events. We can bring in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, those Gospels, and even John into the narrative of post-resurrection and the ascension. But here are some things that I think that we can take away, some principles, some observations that we can take away from this passage today. And that is, first and foremost, that Jesus brings peace. Peace to you. Peace be with you. Me, Jesus, I'm with you. You know, one of the names for Jesus is Emmanuel. Emmanuel. And what does that mean? In the original language, it means God with us. God with us. And Jesus, even after his resurrection, he could have sent an angel. He could have sent his spirit at that point. The Father could have arranged that skywriting in lightning. But yet Jesus still was with us, humanity, the disciples, with open wounds, hands, feet, etc. So Jesus brings peace amongst our doubts, amongst our fears. And then Jesus knows humanity. Why does Jesus know humanity? Because he was fully human while being fully God. It's mind-blowing, but he knows humanity. He knew to show up and show his hands and his feet and ask for something to eat. He knows our suffering. He knows our needs. He knows our appetites. He sounds trite, but he can relate to us in every season of our lives. Thirdly, Jesus will open your mind. He can open your mind to the truths that are found in Scripture, and not just the Gospels, not just the New Testament letters from Paul or Peter to the church, not just New Testament revelation, but the Old Testament, the Law, and the Prophets, and the Psalms. Jesus will open your mind to the Scriptures. And then here's the thing, because he can and will open our minds, he also knows the hardness of our hearts. He knows our gullibility. He knows our hard-heartedness. And then fourthly, Jesus should be proclaimed. Jesus should be proclaimed. Jesus' life, death, And resurrection is worthy to be talked about and wondered about. And not wondered like, I wonder if this is true, or I wonder if, but it should be wondered about, like daily, weekly, not one Sunday in April. But that's the thing is that for me as a pastor, I should preach an Easter message every week. He is risen. He is still risen. Wow, wonder, marvel. We should proclaim it. It's a reasonable and rational response that if someone saves your life, that you proclaim it and you proclaim what's needed to be saved. I don't know how many of you, in just a really minute way, have had their lives saved recently, figuratively. Like, you can't figure out how to log on to Zoom. Or you don't know how to switch the camera around from the front one to the back one. And it's like, oh, you saved my life on that. It's like, you know what? Oh, you know what? This recipe, it's life-changing. I'm going to share it on Facebook. I'm going to proclaim it. And then here's what you need to do to get the crust to bubble and caramelize. You put the brown sugar on top. You use some, what? You're going to tell the steps. Well, Jesus should be proclaimed. And those things that you need to do to have your life saved, how to follow Jesus, the repentance of your sin, it needs to be explained. But here's where, if you want, you can get off easy, seemingly. Get off easy. And that is, the mission of God continues with you and me, or without you and me. You see, the mission of God in providing a way to create peace in heaven between God and humanity, it needed Jesus, the mission. The mission was Jesus. The mission was empowered by Jesus. It was completed with Jesus, and it did not, the mission of God did not need humanity. And yet, Jesus invited disciples, called disciples to join him on this mission. He went from town to town, village to village, inviting them to participate. He went to the holy city where God himself dwelt in the temple, and he invited the city that would largely reject him. See, the mission of God doesn't need you and me. The mission of God needs Jesus and was Jesus and is Jesus. And yet, in this season of social distancing, of self-quarantining, of recommendations of quarantine or orders of quarantine, I truly believe that God is stripping away the onion layers of idols in our lives, those distractions in our lives that covers up the emptiness that is in our lives, the bad news that stuff and activity and busyness and even productivity and profit and prosperity is empty, that there's nothing there. When you peel back every layer of the onion, when you get done peeling back every layer of the onion, there's nothing there, that the whole thing was all about the activity, was all about the distraction. And yet, Jesus came to open our minds to that truth, to open our minds that all of that stuff without Jesus is worthless, and that Jesus is not the dipping sauce for our Texas Tunyon or our Bloomin' Onion. See, I did a Longhorn and an Outback reference. By the way, You can only get that by takeout, but they are open. So you're welcome. But Jesus is not the dipping sauce that adds the spice and the flavor to all those layers. All of those layers of our lives, all of those accessories to our lives are our wants, not our needs. We have a need for Jesus. We should have a need for Jesus. We should have this need, this compulsion to share life-saving, life-changing good news. But God says, here's the mission. Here's my son. Do you want to follow him? Do you want to join him in this mission? Because I will give you a power. And that's the Holy Spirit. So, today, Sunday, or whenever you're watching this, if you're not watching the live stream and you're just pulling this up as a recording, whatever today is, right now, in this moment, as you see my face, hear my voice, are you needing to say, mission of God continues with me or without me? What's your answer to that question? Do you want to be a part of the mission of God? You might have gotten laid off this week and you're like, what is this all for? Every layer of the onion of your life is supposed to be for Jesus. It's supposed to be for God, giving glory to God, showing God, showing the world what God can do with you or without you. He can do it. And so you're laid off. You're homeschooling your kids, which you didn't expect to homeschool your kids. You're graduating from high school without a graduation ceremony and without, like, I remember the last day of classes at my school, we had locker bays. My high school, we had breezeways. There were no hallways. It was all outside. And they were all connected with kind of like little walkway carport, like no walls. And we had, our lockers were in like these like chain link fenced like areas that would be locked up on nights and weekends. And the seniors, we would like, the last day of classes, we would take all of our papers and homework and graded tests, and we'd just throw them everywhere. And as a grace to us seniors, the custodial staff at the school would let us, the principals would let us, and then they would just spend extra time cleaning it up in honor of the seniors of the graduating class. You don't get to have that kind of homework confetti unless your folks allow you to do it in your bonus room, or don't do it in your driveway. It'll blow into your neighbor's yard, and that's not good. But here's the thing. We're all going without something. God is peeling away the layers of our lives right now, I believe, to expose where we have assigned need to want. God provides everything we need. God is the giver of life. Jesus, the Son of God, was there and was the conduit through which all life began. In the beginning was the Word, the Gospel of John says. And so, are you ready to follow Jesus? Here's where you raise your hand. In your living room, in your car, in your heart, this is where you raise your hand and say, I want to follow Jesus. Maybe you have done that before, but you haven't been participating in the mission of God. Maybe you received a stimulus check of salvation from God, and then you're like, sweet, I'm going to spend this salvation, this blessed assurance on myself. I'm not going to participate in the mission of God. The mission of God was to save me, and that's done. No. Jesus, the good news of Jesus should be proclaimed. You know what? In this time of peeling away, maybe God is saying to you in this time that I need to be more active in pursuing this mission of God. Maybe God's calling you to ministry. Some ministry. Maybe it's not vocational ministry where it's putting food on the table, but it's just I need to start this thing that the Spirit has laid on my heart, and this is not something that is a dream of mine, but this is like, you know, it wasn't a dream of Jonah's to go to Nineveh. Usually when God calls you to the mission, it's not the mission of your dreams, but it's the mission of surrender and service and sacrifice. Is that you? Raise your hand. Ask. We have hosts online right now, our staff, that are ready to pray with you. So if you need live prayer, request it right now, and our staff will pray with you about what that call on your life is. And let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm praying right now for the people that are watching this live stream, our church family, our extended family from all over. And Father, I pray that right now that people are surrendering or resurrendering to not only your Son, but to your mission. That our hearts and our minds are not going to reassembling our lives, reassembling the onion of our activity so that we can go back to normal, and that we don't denigrate and minimize the glory and wonder of what your Son did for us as a mere accessory, a mere dipping sauce and flavoring to our lives. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit that you left us when Jesus ascended into heaven. You left us your Spirit to do just that, to open our minds to the Scriptures and to convict us and empower us to live according to the mission that you've called us to. Help us to be obedient to that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, church, I talked about the great need that has been expressed just through the physical activity of our community in coming to our Friendship Food Bank. That we are that we have in the past, as of last week, served around 100 households, families that had never used our food bank before, and we saw that trend this past Tuesday, where it was one of our busiest days. Almost 15 households came through our food bank, drive-through food bank. We've adapted our food bank to be observe good hygiene and social distancing guidelines, self-quarantining guidelines, and then a lot of people received their stimulus checks on Wednesday and Thursday, and so we saw a little drop in how many households that we served on Thursday. But can I tell you something? Your giving last week, especially in honor of our food bank, was such that we think that we can do something that we've been needing to do for a while at Friendship, and that is our refrigeration capacity in our food bank is packed. Our refrigeration, we've got a commercial refrigerator in there, and it's packed, and we have need for more space and refrigeration. But because of your faithful giving, we think that we're going to be able to repair right next door, a couple spaces down from our food bank. A lot of you know that we own the equipment in an old Chinese takeout restaurant, including a walk-in cooler and a walk-in freezer that haven't been operating well for a while. And so what we're going to be doing is it looks like we're going to have the funds to repair those walk-in freezers and coolers so that we can use those for backup, for overflow. And, you know, just so you know, our food costs every month for our food bank, we purchase our food. Our food costs, now that we can't receive hard food donations from you, our food costs have quadrupled. They're four times what they normally are, but our food bank is stocked because of your faithful giving. So thank you for giving. And if you haven't given, here's your opportunity to give. And here's another thing. If you're in our church family, or you're just watching this live stream and you're in the Davidson, Wilson County, Middle Tennessee, Nashville metro area, the food bank's for you as well. And you don't have to come on a Tuesday or Thursday. Just message Tasha. Request live prayer right now. And if Tasha Sable's free or Lisa Passman's free, they will schedule a time where they can meet you with food. They'll give you a list where you can fill out what you need, and they'll pull it together for you. And it's like shipped or getting groceries from Kroger or Walmart, except for you don't have to wait. We'll do it for you, sometimes same day. So do that. Also, community groups. If you're not in a community group, you need community in this time. We know that there's talk of things loosening up. We'll see. We'll see. But our community groups are still running through video conferencing. We have these Zoom community groups, and they're growing. You should have, if you're watching our live stream, you should have a button that you can click and you can fill out a form and join a community group. You can see the different community groups that you can join. And also, there is a link on our website at churchview.com. Just click on groups, community groups, and it'll have a whole list there. By the way, one more thing. There's one more bonus. If you stuck through this, you get bonus content. It's almost like an Easter egg a week late at the end of a movie after the credits. So some people have already signed off because I went into the talk about prayer and giving and community groups, but you are faithful and you get a bonus point. Here's one more thing. You are clothed with power. Jesus' words, when you are clothed with power, what Jesus was talking about was the coming of the Helper, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. Once he was ascended into heaven after they walked out to Bethany, he said, stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power, the Holy Spirit. And then the mission of God went out from Jerusalem to the nations. If you have followed Jesus, friend, you are clothed with power. But if you've been feeling lately, especially in this season, that you are powerless, it's because you're focusing on the layers of the onion and not on the sun, the purpose for which all things not only are possible, but all things should give glory to our Father in heaven. Jesus paid that price so you could be clothed with power. So walk in that power today and join Jesus in his mission. God bless and be well.